for August 11th, 2009. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's episode 76 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. We're getting together more regularly now. I promised on the last podcast we would get together more regularly, and sure enough, we are. I think it was 2 weeks ago was 75, and now 76. It's almost like we do this every 2 weeks or so. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with
Addison Berry
and
James Walker,
as well as
Karen Stevenson
and
Ryan Srama.
Ryan Srama,
woohoo!
Mr. Ubercart, some have said, the man behind all things cartish and Uberish and e-commerce-ish, Drupal-ishness.
Uber Ryan.
Yeah. We a couple weeks ago launched our new store, store.lullabot.com, in Drupal using Ubercart, and Ryan helped us out a little bit with that, and we thought we'd do a podcast and talk about building the store and Ubercart and sort of e-commerce in Drupal. Definitely a thing that people want to know about, and it's always a little bit more of a challenge than you think, and always a little bit more pressure than you think. And so we're going to talk about that on this podcast. But first, a little bit of news. I should just precede the news by saying there's a lot of stuff that Lullabot has going on right now. We're just going to list them off right here. We'll try and do it as quickly as possible. The first thing is that we're having a sale in our new store. All of our DVDs are marked down, so you can buy the DVDs at the same price as the downloads, and that's until August 19th. If you've been thinking about buying Lullabot DVDs, now's the time to do it. Go get them. You can hold them in your hands. They caress the shiny exterior. We spent a lot of time on the artwork and creating the liner notes, put a lot of thought into exactly all the words that are going to be on the back of the box. And, you know, it's also very rewarding. I mean, it's rewarding for us to just have the disc. I don't know. I like that even from back when I was used to make music discs, CDs and stuff. It always felt very validating to have a disc. So maybe that's maybe more for us than you people out there, but we're having a sale on the DVDs. So.
I will say they do look.
Maybe not everyone will fetishize them in the same way as me, but
they do look fantastic on my shelf.
They do say that. You can impress your friends. People will come by and say, "Wow, look at your library of Lullabot DVDs!" And
right next to your anime,
yeah, exactly, and your collection of Star Wars movies, right? What else we have going on? We've got actually a new video coming out next week called Administering Drupal. We currently have 5 different videos out. I won't list them all here, but if you go to store.lullabot.com, you can see them all. And we have video bundles. That's what I'm trying to say. So you can buy several at once. You can fill your whole library all at once. But we have a brand new one coming out next week. We're calling this the Holy Grail of Drupal videos. I don't mean to, you know, hype it too much, but it is in fact the Holy Grail of Drupal videos. It's basically the idea of the Administering Drupal video is it's the video when you finish your Drupal site and hand it over to your client, you can give them this video as well, and say, here's how to administer a Drupal site. Or if conversely you've been given a Drupal site and you don't quite understand what you need to know about it, or if you know someone in this position, this video is for that situation. Talks about how to create content, how to move things around in the menu system, kind of what the menu system navigation is, and all this kind of stuff. It's a hands-on tutorial video. Our understanding Drupal video is a little bit explains concepts, but this one's hands-on good stuff. Anyways, get on the Lullabot mailing list if you want to find out exactly when this is coming out and all of our other videos. Go to lullabot.com/mailing list, or just go to our website and there's a mailing list form around there somewhere. What else we have going on, James?
Yeah, we've got a couple training things coming up. The first is a brand new venture that I'm personally pretty excited about. We're calling it the Drupal Fundamentals Online Workshop. And basically, this came out of a couple things, but what we really want to do is get our training out to more people, particularly people overseas and places where we don't get to in person as much or ever. So the Fundamentals Workshop is going to be a 6-week entirely online form of training, and it'll cover basically what you need to know to get started building Drupal sites. So from your first installation right through launching your first site, and it should be pretty exciting. We're sort of putting together what I think will be some neat things for people. Getting started with Drupal. For those of you listening to the podcast, we've got a special $50 off coupon. If you go register now with the discount code of online50, you'll get $50 off that registration. So get on it.
That coupon code's only good until August 20th. So yes.
Right. Hurry. So act fast. And if you're listening
to
the podcast
on it.
Late, if you're listening to the podcast late, too bad. But I do hope you'll join us anyway, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And the other training thing we've got coming up is for those of you that prefer a more in-person feel, and those of you who are handy with a text editor or wanting to become so, we have workshops coming up in October in Toronto, which is convenient for me. I don't know about the rest of you.
It's convenient for everyone.
Yeah,
it's practically in the middle of the United States, except that it's in Canada.
Yeah. But I haven't been to Toronto. It's a beautiful city. It's where I call home. So come join me. We can hang out. So we'll be running a week of workshops. It's October 5th to the 9th. And we'll be doing module development for the first half of the week and theming and the always popular jQuery day for the rest of the week. So if you need help learning Drupal, those are the things that we've got on the go right now.
Lullabot.com/training. Goodness, it doesn't stop there. last year, we ran a conference in New Orleans called Do It With Drupal. This year, we are running a conference in New Orleans called, get this, Do It With Drupal. We're doing it again. December 9th through 11th this year in New Orleans. You can find out more about that at doitwithdrupal.com. We'll also have that listed on the Lullabot training page. But yeah, it's a 3-day learning conference kind of a thing. Ryan, you were there last year.
I was there last year, and I was begging to be included again this year. That's actually the first place I got to say more than 3 words to Karen Stevenson, and I felt.
Yes, we allowed you 4 words. 4 words to Karen Stevenson. It's really great. The idea of it is trying to connect people who are learning about Drupal with the people who are kind of doing Drupal things. People like Ryan with Ubercart, Karen, who was not part of the part of the Lullabot team last year, who's the CCK. The CCK lady and Earl Miles comes and talks about views, and everybody can meet the people who are building the software that they're they can learn from the people. I'm gonna need to edit this. And they can learn from the people who are writing the software that they're using. So it's really, really good stuff. Yes, yeah. Doitwithdrupal.com, we'll be opening registrations in the coming weeks, but you can find out some information about that there.
And watch last year's videos to get a feel.
Yeah, one of the things that we do is we record we do high quality video recordings of the all the sessions, and they're all up there. So last year's video archive is up there, and people can purchase access if they didn't go to the event. And if they did go to the event, they get free access to the archive. And it's really cool because it's a 3-track kind of thing. And so if you missed a session or two because you had to make a choice between two things that you wanted to see, you can still see the other thing online. Other Drupal news, just quickly, Code Freeze coming up September 1st. If you've got some crazy new features that you want to put into Drupal 7, get your patches in now. DrupalCon Paris is also coming up September 1st through 5th in Paris. That's why they're calling it DrupalCon Paris. It's not a coincidence.
Really confusing if they had DrupalCon Paris in like Spokane, Washington.
I know.
Or if they did it in like Paris, Ontario. Just like mess people up.
Yeah, this one's in France though. We don't know about next year's DrupalCon Paris. But September 1st through 5th. The first day is, it's kind of, yeah.
First day is training and sprinting and, you know, whatever, milling about. And then 3 days of conference, and then the last day is hardcore sprint day.
So
the code sprint on the first day is a new thing this year. I think is a really great idea. A lot of times they've always had the code sprint on the last day, and some people have to leave, and sometimes people are a little burned out by then, and so they've added a code sprint on the first day, which will be a great time to get people all geared up and excited and, you know, roll into the conference, I think.
Yeah. So anyways, if people are pressed for time and or are not coders, you might just want to go the second, third, and fourth.
Otherwise, hey, there's a documentation sprint happening at these sprints. You don't have to be a coder. Sprint does not equal code. So you threw down a glove, it's like a red flag, the bull or something. Like.
For those of you just joining us, Addy is the documentation team lead. And
I will be leading documentation sprints on both the first and the fifth day.
Yes. So anyways, you can go to those too, but...
And she does
a
great job.
You can tell how excited he is.
She comes in and ropes in the developers and brings them back into the documentation room.
I have to conserve my energy.
It's great.
It's just too exciting a prospect for you, so you just have to kind of shut it down, right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll stick to that story.
Okay. I'm going to be jet-lagged and stuff, figuring out French, so... okay, well, let's get to the meat and potatoes, as it were, the tempeh and potatoes of the podcast. Let's talk about the new Lullabot store and Ubercart in general. Where should we start with this?
I'll start. Yeah, so as a lot of people know, in fact, more people noticed it than I think of us sort of had anticipated. But, you know, when we first started doing our DVDs, we needed a way to sell them. So, you know, we sort of had put a lot of time into putting together the DVD, and then it, you know, came time to sell it. And so we went with something that was sort of ready and available and easy, which was a company called Shopify. And
it was really easy.
It was really easy. It was one of those, like, you know, 5 seconds. We had a store set up and it was hosted, and we didn't need to worry about, you know, any, you know, we didn't need to worry about SSL certificates and how we handle the credit cards and what we use for a payment gateway and all that stuff. It was just like, you know, we went and signed up and boom, it was done. And sort of, you know, I think what we didn't anticipate was a lot of people saying, oh, wait, Lullabot isn't using Drupal for their store. And we sort of, you know, we got some feedback. I know every time I went to, you know, user group meetups, there was always somebody that was like, so James, why isn't your store on Drupal? And
plus it wasn't at all integrated into the rest of the site.
Yep.
Right. It was a totally different site and all that stuff. And the thing is, we did use for Do It With Drupal, for that site, we did use Ubercart and sort of put it together. But basically, you know, this store was sort of off on its own and doing its own thing. And it was, you know, it was very easy and all that to set up. But what we sort of found as time went on was, first of all, they handle sort of event registration at all, which is a big part of what we do. So we've got, you know, workshops and all this sort of training stuff that happens. And so that was happening in one place. The commerce for that was happening in one place. The DVDs and t-shirts, we sell t-shirts too. The t-shirts were getting sold someplace else. And so that was sort of, you know, one issue. And the other issue was that we had a lot of, you know, deals and promotions and bundles and things that we wanted to put together. And Shopify didn't support that. So it was one of the sort of classic cases where it was real, you know, sort of cheap and easy to get up and running. But, you know, we found ourselves sort of, you know, dead ended on a lot of stuff. You know, we were very limited in what we could do. And, you know, I mean, we sort of, I think, had always sort of had the intention of moving the store over to Drupal, anyway. And then, you know, we sort of started running into these barriers, and, you know, we had success with Ubercart for Do It With Drupal, and were sort of ready to approach it. And I gotta say, you know, I mean, obviously it's our site, but I think the, you know, having been involved in a couple of Ubercart implementations, it's an interesting one because we sort of do all of the various kinds of things that Ubercart allows you to sell, whether it's, you know, event registration or selling physical products that need to be, you know, shipped out around the world. We do, you know, video downloads as well. So selling files, all that kind of stuff with all sorts of variations of bundling and discounting and, you know, another promotion. I don't know. That's where we are with the store. And Ubercart's been, you know, has just sort of given us that flexibility where it's like, if Jeff can dream it up, Ubercart can implement it. So it's been really nice.
And I've got a lot of ideas.
he's a dreamer.
I'm a dreamer. Yeah, I mean, I can't state how easy it was to set up the Shopify site. I mean, it was so, like, we were looking around at some solutions and it was like, we'll figure out Ubercart and maybe we'll look at the e-commerce package again. We should talk maybe a little bit about the, what I will call the old e-commerce package versus Ubercart. I mean, it was like, Matt was doing most of the research and, he basically called me and said, yeah, I've set up a Shopify site. It's done. Like, I mean, it's already got our stuff in there and stuff. And it took me like a half an hour. So,
all right, I'm sold. I'm switching to Shopify.
Let's just use that. Yeah, I mean, it was easy, but it really, you know, we found ourselves really, really limited, ultimately, and really, like, in ways that we wanted to, from a marketing standpoint, we wanted to be able to have sales and offer people coupons and you know, have different sort of promotions, and bundles was a really big one that we wanted to be able to do. There are a lot of, like, logical bundles, like the CCK and Views bundles that people oftentimes want to buy together, or we now have an everything bundle where you can just buy everything all at once and you get a discount on everything and stuff like that. And we couldn't do that before, and it was so difficult because as James was saying, we could see it in our minds. We had a vision of it this way, but people kept going like, how can I get a discount? It's like, we can't even offer you a discount this way.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, also there were, like, silly little things. Like, we would want to offer a discount coupon on say, you know, on say on the DVDs, and in the way Shopify set up a discount coupon, which they do support in a limited way, a discount coupon in Shopify is a discount on anything in the store. So, you know, I mean, 10% off a DVD is a little bit different from, you know, 10% off a week-long workshop, say, you know. There were just some odd limitations that made it sort of frustrating for us to get.
And we're also do-it-yourselfers, and honestly, I wanted to be able to I wanted Drupal to do this.
Yeah.
And thought it could. And there is that sort of background kind of eat your own dog food thing with in the Drupal community, where basically it's sort of, you call yourself a Drupal developer, why don't you make your lunch with Drupal? You know, you should do everything with Drupal. You should, you know, when you watch television, how come you're not using Drupal?
Why aren't you taking surveys with Drupal?
Yeah, all that. Well, yes, that kind of thing. And so anyways, I mean, I think we tend to try and be as pragmatic as possible. That's sort of the idea behind the Do It With Drupal event, is sort of looking at very pragmatic ways of using Drupal.
Right.
Trying to sort of decouple it from this sort of fanatic kind of way of looking at things, where it's like, oh, I have to solve all my problems with Drupal. It's like, well, is it the simplest way to do it? And it really wasn't. But moving to Ubercart eventually has really worked out for us. It was not a quick process, though. How long would you estimate that it took us to build?
Is that me?
Yeah, anyone. Took, yeah, you.
Sure. It took me, you. I could see you pointing. yeah, it took, I don't know. It took us a couple of months to get it launched, but I mean, you know, we have day jobs and things like that.
Yeah, we weren't working on it full time. And
yeah.
There was a little bit of cobbler's shoes going on there.
And there was also a lot of, we wanted to push the envelope in several places, and we had to figure out what needed to be done. And then in some cases, we went back to Ubercart and said, can we get this change in or this fix in or whatever?
Helpful
and
diversions of
we did a bunch of those. We did some back and forth there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So let's shift focus for a second here and talk about the kind of the history of Ubercart how it got started. You want to talk about that, Ryan?
Sure. Yeah.
Because there was, in fact, another e-commerce solution in Drupal when Ubercart started.
No. There's no duplication. This was original. I don't think anybody else was doing e-commerce yet.
Really?
Okay, yeah, there was.
I still exists.
Oh, you got me.
there was. It still exists, and it's still going strong. I guess Gordon Hayden is still doing that. Matt Westgate started the original project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you help out at all on that, Jeff?
I did a lot of work on that. My first Drupal site was an e-commerce related site. It was actually how Matt and I met. I did a lot of work on that and e-commerce. And I mean, the thing with e-commerce is it's always, and I'm sure you can attest to this, it's always way more complicated than you would ever think.
Yeah, I had one experience with it myself. It was just helping somebody do some funny payment, table-based payment and shipping stuff. And, that fell through. Fortunately, I didn't have to come back to that. I hope that they got their stuff figured out. But the company I was working for at the time also had some experience with it and hadn't successfully gotten into. I guess there just wasn't a good way for my former employer to contribute back to e-commerce. And at the same time, we were running an online company selling restaurant equipment, primarily through eBay and then through our own OS Commerce website at the time. And we needed a good user-friendly, simple-to-set-up solution that our sales staff, who may not be the most technically competent, could use to fulfill orders and to operate efficiently. We just had various trouble spots throughout the administrative interface, the order backend, and everything with e-commerce as it existed, that I was tasked, for better or worse, with writing something else.
Huh. So you had a very specific use case when you started.
Yes.
Whereas the e-commerce package was written from a much more sort of theoretical, conceptual thing. Matt has talked about that on the podcast here, where it was written to sort of show, it was written as an actual, as something that was actually usable, but to some extent as sort of an experiment to show what Drupal could do beyond being a conventional content management system, to use the APIs. And in many ways, the e-commerce system sort of mirrored the APIs over and followed that model out. But to a certain...
It was like defining an API and then also shipping with an implementation of that API, but the implementation maybe wasn't the first priority? Is that...
Well, yeah, a little bit. I think that it again, there wasn't a whole lot of pragmatism to it. It was more sort of theoretical rather than I'm building a store and I just have to have this work.
Yeah.
It was more like I'm going to build this because it seems like it'd be an interesting mental idea, an interesting puzzle to solve. And then, and then it probably should be able to sell things. The e-commerce package has continued on, I feel bad saying this, but people do listen to this podcast for our ideas and our opinions, and I'm just going to say it. I think that UberCart has vastly passed, at least in popularity, the original e-commerce package. There are still some people out there using the original e-commerce package, but the UberCart... UberCart has its own website, ubercart.org, there's just a lot of people doing a lot of things with UberCart. It seems to be much more sort of vibrant these days than the original.
Snowballing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've done this evaluation a couple times, whether it's on behalf of clients, but also, when we wrote using Drupal, I drew the short straw and got to do the e-commerce chapter. And with the evaluation again, then, were we going to talk about e-commerce or were we going to talk about UberCart? And the thing is from that sort of pragmatic point of view, UberCart was clearly designed from the get-go to be, to work for the end user. And there's all sorts of examples, but the one that's, that was the early winner there is things like the checkout page is a single page, right? You fill out one form that is your billing and shipping details and your credit card information, and your process is done, right? You've made your purchase, and UberCart will do all kinds of things behind the scenes. Like it does, Ajax shipping, calculation lookups, and will process your payment and all that kind of stuff. But from an end user's point of view, they fill out one form and then they're finished. And, if an account is created or anything else that has to happen behind the scenes just sort of happens for them. And it makes for just a much nicer experience, and particularly in e-commerce when, sort of distance between desire to buy and completion of sale is crucially important. In terms of you want to make sure if somebody wants to buy something that it's as easy and painless for them as possible. UberCart seems to be a clear winner in that realm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there was a time, I have to say. So UberCart was created, as you were saying, Ryan, for selling, your
selling big fridges,
selling refrigerators, right? It was stuff that was going to be physical stuff. And when I first looked at it, we were thinking about downloads and workshops and a lot of these sort of intangible kinds of things. And it wasn't really oriented towards that kind of stuff at that point, stuff like that.
Yeah. It wasn't really until DrupalCon Barcelona that I actually met people out there that actually had heard of UberCart and actually were using UberCart. And a lot of the questions were centered around additional sorts of sales, whether it was event registration or file downloads or Drupal role promotions. And honestly, we just hadn't even thought in those directions yet. That was kind of a back burner issue for us, but we allowed the feature creep to happen and expanded the scope. And next thing you know, basically every site that I've developed for a client, for somebody besides me, has been a file download site or a role promotion site. So
So those are both built into core UberCart at this point, right?
Correct, yeah.
So and by role promotion, you mean basically people purchasing a role on the website. So you might have a role on the website, a user role, that has access to certain kinds of content on the site, yeah. And people will purchase that, make a purchase, and when their purchase completes, they get this role for a certain amount of time. And then it expires, and
I'm not mistaken, that was Avenged Sevenfold was one of the first membership sites using UberCart.
Right, Warner Brothers has been using UberCart stuff for some
time. Yeah, they've been very supportive.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avenged Sevenfold, there you go. content I might pay for if I were a fan of that band.
Or you might want to list. We have a classifieds website where people pay for a role to list, I don't know, business information.
Right. Well, and then you start to get into like registrations kinds of stuff. And so this was our idea for registrations actually came out of a presentation that I saw Barry Jaspin give in Boston, where he had built a classified ad system, where basically, and this was using what we'll call the other e-commerce system, what it was the thing? He allowed people to create, everyone to create an ad node. Right. And so he had a content type that was a classified ad, and he allowed people to create that. But as soon as they created it, it ran through this crazy workflow and custom module that he'd built and added it to their cart as a product. It became a product and became added to their cart as a product. And then they purchased it, and then it went through yet a further workflow where once it was purchased, it set a timer. It went into a workflow where it got approved, and then when it was approved, it started a timer where it was like on the site for 2 weeks, and then it would automatically unpublish. and it was fast. This like Rube Goldberg Drupal machine that he'd built. You know, it's like, whoa, that's really cool. But this idea of being able to on the fly create nodes and sell those nodes was a really interesting idea, particularly in Drupal 5. You could have you could use with views and you gained all of the stuff that nodes had as sort of first class Drupal citizens.
Yeah, we have a couple other things that, you know, that we tend to run into a lot that sort of also were part of the design and the push behind it. Things like, you know, the person who registers for our events or who pays for our events aren't always the
attending.
Frequently aren't the people who are attending. Yeah, so what we really need is information about who's actually going to show up and be there, you know, their name and maybe, you know, like for Drupal is, you know, enough about like what to put on their badge, who their company is, and we also need their email address, because so if there's any updates for people attending, you know, like room changes or whatever, we have ways to contact them in addition to, you know, the person who actually paid to attend. So,
well, like I said, this stuff is always way more complicated than you initially think. At first, it was like, I don't know, it'll just be a, you know, there'll be the workshop, and then people buy the workshop, and there's the workshop node, and they just buy the workshop, and then we'll just look at the purchases to see who made the purchase. And that was the – it wasn't actually what we've done with Lullabot, but previous stuff, that first – I was talking about that first Drupal site I ever built, that was a thing that was happening there. But then there was this problem where it was like – What if people want to switch to a different workshop, then you got to change their order. And then there's this like coupling between the order, the person who placed the order and the person who's attending. And it was just like really like way too firmly, like in concrete as to how this was going to work. In real life, these things change around so much. You have somebody that needs to get in free, or you give a discount to several people, or a person wants to switch from one event to another, and things like that. So it needs to be really kind of loosely done. I just can't explain it. Like all e-commerce stuff is always like that. I mean, like what are like taxes? Oh man. Or like, especially when you start to get into international value added tax stuff. And, that might not even be as complicated as some of the stuff in the US, where you have a state like, Colorado, which has a state tax, but then each county within Colorado has their own additional county tax. And some cities also have individual tax in certain places. It's like, I don't know. You've managed to handle most of that pretty well. Well, you have a flexible. What it's you've done is you created a flexible framework where you can kind of plug in new stuff.
Right, right. Well, and it's built on Drupal, which is all about flexibility and hooks and extensibility and all that.
Well, so. It can be. I mean, oftentimes I think when people write the first round, they don't think about all those possibilities. So
certainly not me.
Having this be the second generation of e-commerce stuff is a real advantage.
A good advantage is that for every person that has unique needs, unique specifications, up comes a unique module that meets their need, and it's released, and everybody else starts to use it, and then add their own extra features to it. So is it stealing too much thunder from later in the show to mention that Node Checkout arose out of the whole need for Lullabot?
Let's talk about that. So that's how we're doing our registrations now, and I believe so. We worked with you to build that for the Do It With Drupal site last year, right?
Sponsors.
Yes, we sponsored. Yes.
and duly noted on the project page.
Duly.
Duly noted. And so how does that work? So talk about that, what that module is and what it does and how it works for registrations and what else it might be used for.
Yeah, it's the concept behind it at first was a customizable product. So a lot of people wanted to upload files to products they had to the shopping cart so they could put a logo on a business card or their grandma's face on a mug or something like that. And so, of course, we could just keep adding more and more features to the add to cart form, or we could say, well, Drupal already lets you build a form with nodes and lets you administer that later without having it tucked away inside of an order object. So we have this way to associate a product in your Drupal site with a node type, so that whenever you add this product to the shopping cart, you get to create a node of the specified type. So if you're doing, for example, this is totally imaginary, but a seminar for people to learn about Drupal and you need to collect attendee information, you could have a registration node type so that when somebody adds the registration product to the shopping cart, they have to fill out this registration node. So now you have a registration in the Drupal side that's a node that can be paid for through that order and then administered through a view later on, exactly what you described earlier. Just the
and that node can have any number of fields attached to it of any kind because it's CCK and views and all the regular Drupal stuff.
So this is kind of an unconventional way to use a node, because it's not it's not a node that will be seen publicly. Basically, just the administrators will be able to see these nodes. Yeah. And there are sort of two different possible arguments on it. One is that, well, we're really just using the node type so that, in this case, in Drupal 5, so that we can, in Drupal 6, so that we can use it with CCK and in Drupal 5 so that we could use it with views. And then in Drupal 7, it wouldn't necessarily need to be a node anymore, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And so this idea of basically using CCK to create a form and that creates a piece of content that is used mostly internally, it works out really well. I mean, we just basically they're unpublished nodes, unpublished content, and the site administrators can see them, and
It works.
And it could be used for other things, as you were saying, like if you wanted to sell mugs that had pictures on them,
right.
you could have the the mug add an image field and have people upload their image when they buy a mug.
You could associate your product with an ad node. The ad node type, so you can create and pay for ads on the fly through UberCart. That's another example.
And then run them through your workflow again. They're
right.
First-class Drupal citizens. They get to do everything. You could have people comment on them and so on and so forth. Yeah. So it's really surprisingly flexible kind of a thing that we sort of stumbled across with that module called UC Node Checkout, which is not part of UberCart, and it's a little bit confusing until you get your head around what you can do with it.
I will say that I hadn't been working with it initially, and then when we were doing the store upgrade, I got involved trying to do some of the registration stuff, and it does take a little thinking to get your head around the idea of, I want to do an event registration, therefore I need this module called Nothing to Do with Event,
right.
UC No Checkout. And it is confusing, but now that I've used it and I've seen how it works, it's way more flexible than anything else or any other way of doing it, because you can make it be almost anything you need it to be. So it works really well.
Yeah.
Or maybe one day it will be documented too.
We just documented it here. What are you talking about?
It's ironic. No, it does. That's probably the biggest problem with it, is there's a lot of steps to getting it working. Yeah. And I had the part of it that I did for the Lullabot store, I was taking notes and I was going to come back and do an article about exactly what those steps were, and I didn't get that article written, but I will try to get that done. Because there are several steps and you do need a little hand holding to figure out all the right steps to hook all the pieces together. But it works. Yeah.
Just to inject another module that's super handy, if you're using UC Node Checkout, there's a module that we've mentioned on this podcast before called Node Auto Title. I think that's what it's called, or Auto Node Title.
Auto Node Title.
That's it. Yeah. It keeps moving around. What that allows you to do is to not have a title field on it, because that won't always make sense. Especially, let's say you've got registrations, you want to ask first name and last name, and be able to show a list of people by last name, but you want the title of the node to be first name space last name. You can use that module to basically you create a little pattern where it titles your nodes based on some criteria, which could be parts of the content fields that you've entered, or even just like the node number or something like that.
And you hide the title, so nobody has to see this goofy field that you don't want them to fill out. Exactly. So it works really well. Yeah.
And particularly like in a registration or something like that. Without that, you would say, what is the title of your registration? I'm like, what? What has been sort of the most complicated and sort of surprising parts of UberCart and running this project.
From the code perspective,
the general sort of logic of it. I mean, I guess code, but like taxes, international stuff.
We're unapologetically U.S. centric because we've never lived anywhere else, and so understanding PST, GST, VAT, and everything else, every other kind of tax out there is just not something we can do, and even more, it's without knowing how these different things operate, it's hard to design a system that's flexible enough to accommodate all the different combinations and types of taxes and rules for displaying prices, including taxes here but excluding them here and listed separately here, and it's just been one big ball of confusion. And really, the attempt to have a generic sort of price handling system that can accommodate all those different needs is really what's holding up the 2.0 release as we work on this core price handler. So that's been extremely confusing and just sort of a persistent reoccurring problem. And then, of course, there's always multilingual problems. What do you do for translating variables? We store a lot of messages. We have a customizable add to cart button, but once you have a text field and a settings form where you can change what a button says or a page displays, then it's all of a sudden not translatable through T. And so just dealing with a lot of issues regarding internationalization that we obviously didn't think about ahead of time.
Now, you've also created this sort of conditional actions system, which is kind of at the core of a lot of what UberCart does. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So conditional actions, it was kind of the successor to what we used Workflow NG for in Drupal 5 and UberCart 1. Whenever we started to migrate to Drupal 6 and upgrade to UberCart 2, there was no solution available, although the rules module has since sort of popped up as a complete solution for Drupal 6.
UberCart 2 is the Drupal 6 version?
Yes.
Is that true? There's no UberCart 1 for Drupal 6.
Correct.
And UberCart 1 is Drupal 5 only.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and one of the significant differences is that we've switched from Workflow NG to conditional actions. We really were trying to avoid a long, drawn-out release cycle at first when we got to Drupal 6. We wanted to do a straight migration almost, and that straight migration has now lasted, I think it's been 14 months. So, but conditional actions was one of those things that we had to push through because we didn't have another solution yet, and that extended this whole migration process. And it's basically a high level like pseudo scripting language. You can set up automated order workflow. You can determine when to display what tax or when to display what shipping quote based on where the user is shipping an order to or what products are in the shopping cart. It's just a whole, like it sounds, a conditional action system where for any given event, whether it's the customer completing checkout and order status being updated, a payment being entered for an order, you can then take all these different things we call predicates, and if a set of conditions are true, then you perform a set of actions, and those are configurable. It's hopefully a way for people to automate their store without having to know PHP. And that's what it does, and it works great for where we use it. We're using it for a discount framework, for really flexible discounts. We're using it for, like I said, shipping quotes and taxes or role promotions, file downloads, email notifications, kind of everything that we can runs through this system, so you can easily tweak it to your needs without having to write a hook or override a function or something.
Yeah, some of the things you can wire up. I mean, you can just start chaining all these, you know, these things and have all kinds of stuff happen, you know, when a payment comes in or when certain things happen. And yeah, like you said, it's sort of like this meta scripting language, but it's easy to just sort of, you know, stack a couple of them on. Like if you want, you know, an email to fire off to the customer, plus you also want, you know, one internally and maybe notify some other people and, you know, and, you know, ping out. So, you know, in our store, we, you know, we use a conditional action to fire off to our fulfillment house that, yes, this order's in, it's paid for, go ahead and ship them. Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and you can also write custom actions, custom conditions, things like that in your own modules. The hooks are fairly simple to use and documented on ubercart.org. And like an example, like James just mentioned, I have a site in progress where they're receiving an order and during checkout authorizing a payment but not actually collecting the money. And then they're exporting the order. And so as soon as they hear back that an order has shipped, we're automatically capturing the money and then advancing the order status to complete, and it's all just automated, and it doesn't require paying an employee to sit at a computer and do this, all these mouse clicks every single day. And this is part of the whole, like, we had a use case in mind when we started developing UberCart, and that use case was automate as much of this for our sales team as we possibly can, but make sure it's flexible enough for people like somebody doing a seminar registration.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little, there's a lot of potential in it. it's a little bit confusing right now, but you could see how this could eventually, become something more akin to like Apple's Automator or, the Magento has a great demo on their site where they have a, you know, it's almost like you're typing it in English, you know.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah. For those listening to the podcast, what Jeff means is that the user interface for conditional action sucks right now.
I was being diplomatic.
but it does. The first pass was to get it functional and to have it all working through a single form function. That's part of the magic here and the reason that we've stuck with conditional actions even as rules has sort of matured is that it's all handled through one form function, and so we can then embed the conditions part of the form into other user interfaces. We're not tied to one particular user interface, and then the supposed next iteration would be prettying up the user interface. So it maybe even reads like a string of text, like the Magento demo. So
we don't know if Magento actually does that, but the demo does that.
So. The demo does that. I haven't. I've tried.
just for those maybe unaware, Magento's another PHP-based e-commerce system.
Yes.
Does have Drupal integration now, and it didn't when we looked at
something.
It.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
But is another. I mean, it's a completely separate package.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a pot shot to say that Magento does offer an enterprise edition that you can pay for that has many outstanding features like a conditional actions interface for things. features that you might get for free out of an open source package like UberCart. You could pay
for is the Drupal podcast, so I think you're okay, you know.
Okay.
Yes. Being like that. Yes. Boo, Magento. Yay, Drupal. So we also talked very briefly, just as we're talking about other non-Drupal open source solutions. There's also OS Commerce, which I haven't looked at probably in 3 years. But when I looked at it 3 years ago, it was bad.
It's been updated as recently as 2002.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't changed at all. And basically, there's a whole ecosystem around OS Commerce of people who will hack it for you.
Right.
And create your own version of OS Commerce that then won't.
It's not maintainable.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, I mean, we sort of see this a lot where there's other sort of third-party packages that are very appealing and, you know, and have a lot of features. But ultimately, you know, I mean, I think really when you're, you know, if you're sort of betting the farm, going with a single sort of unified package just ends up so much better in the long run. And I mean, sort of as a sideways anecdote, I worked with the gallery project for a while, which, you know, photo uploading and editing, which has just like an enormous number of features for like photo management. And so when I was sort of, you know, still working on that project and working, you know, and getting more and more involved with Drupal, I wrote an integration sort of bridged so you could, you know, use Gallery inside of your Drupal site. And it never, as far as I know, and somebody was actually just asking me about it, even though I haven't maintained or even looked at the code in a couple of years now. But I think it's on its like third or fourth maintainer now. But, you know, somebody was asking me about it. They'd seen that I had been involved, and they were telling me some of their experience and things like, I mean, when I think about the things that we're able to do with Ubercart in terms of tight integration with the rest of our site, or like, you know, building a, you know, so using, you know, UC Node checkout and getting, you know, an actual just core Drupal node of the registration. You know, I mean, we have all kinds of views of like, you know, who's registered for which event, and we can sort of tie in any other Drupal piece, you know, products or nodes. So you can do, you know, anything that you can apply to a node applies to Ubercart. And it's really hard to get that level of integration when, you know, when you're looking at these OS Commerce and Zencart and, I don't even know if Zencart exists anymore, but yeah, I mean, all the other ones, you know, all the other ones that have a lot of, you know, features, a lot of which are very appealing, but it's tough to get all those features playing with all of Drupal's features. And, you know, and particularly as Ubercart's continued to just gain this, you know, snowballing momentum behind it, you know, we're seeing all of those flashy features make their way into core Ubercart, which is, you know, makes it all that much better.
Are you finding, Ryan, so Ubercart, I talk sometimes about like top level projects and second level projects. So like Views is a second level project in that it lives underneath Drupal. CCK lives underneath Drupal, but jQuery is a top level project. It has its own, you know, people that just work on that and aren't involved in these other things. Magento is a top level project. Ubercart is a second level project, but it has its own website and its own, kind of people talking about it. Are you finding that people are coming to Ubercart not quite realizing that it's Drupal?
In the words of one, tweet, from a few weeks ago, I think it was in June, we saw somebody was just about to install the Drupal module on their Ubercart site.
There you go.
Ubercart has sort of this this public facing persona that people know it as an open source e-commerce system, and that brings a lot of people into Drupal, and they realize that they're not just getting another e-commerce system, but rather a content management system based e-commerce system that doesn't suck and that has a wide range of features and a community of support behind it. And really, like, that's what the website was there for, was to make sure that people knew where to go to talk about Ubercart or to learn about Ubercart. You may remember before, if you wanted to get help for your e-commerce problem, and as you've mentioned, e-commerce in general is really confusing and involves a lot of features and specifications and needs, and you need support for these things. But it would just get lost in the bigger Drupal website and in the forums or wherever. And so we wanted to have a single sort of support channel. And so that's why the Ubercart website and the Ubercart branding was sort of done. But it is still a second-level project whenever we look at it in the Drupal community. And I think it needs to continue to be stronger and more comfortable in that sort of second-level area. Continuing to grow Ubercart as a utility module that is part of a website, we're emphasizing you're still building a Drupal website that uses Ubercart for e-commerce and Views for product listing and CCK for product specifications. And so trying to have both, I guess, this sort of outside reach that goes well beyond the Drupal community, but also a sort of no delusion of grandeur. Like, Ubercart still is just an a Drupal module, and it still needs to operate on the same level as Drupal modules do.
Well, it makes it a whole lot easier to add a blog to your e-commerce site or a forum message board or any of all those other things that Drupal
newsletter.
Does. Yeah, newsletter, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So what are your sort of future plans for UberCart? Where do you see all of this going? You want the conditional actions to be a line of English, but any what else?
Yeah, man, I'm not sure. I have ideas, and at this point, we've been stuck in release candidate mode and beta mode on UberCart 2 for so long that I haven't really developed and started working toward these ideas much.
I appreciate your conservatism on the release candidates and stuff. We are using UberCart 2, so for people who are listening who are thinking, oh, I want to build a Drupal 6 site with UberCart, you can, I recommend it. We're using UberCart 2, whatever release candidate it's at now, on store.lullabot.com, and it works just fine.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason it's release candidate still, like I mentioned, is this whole price handler system that really doesn't affect 95% of people, which makes it unfortunate that that's what's holding it up for those 95% from being an actual 2.0. But we want to clean up our code. If anybody's, you know, had the chance to look through this, they realize that this is Ryan Zarama's first major Drupal module, and it still looks like his first major Drupal module in many respects.
All modules have their dark corners, but yeah.
So, you know, fixing those things up, unifying our internal APIs, making sure that we're fully taking advantage of things like all the, I mean, Drupal 7 is like so close, and yet we haven't still optimized for all of Drupal 6's cool new features. And so there's just a lot of low level work that needs to happen. Module based template files for your invoices instead of our own little sort of cobbled together invoice template system. A smoother conditional actions user interface, or nuke conditional actions and decide we just need to go with rules or something like that, like decisions like that that have to be made. As far as the feature set goes, I mean, the payment system could be better, as always. Products and attributes and SKUs, right now we don't have a really good, but we're having like an identity crisis of what is a product.
Right.
Is it the node, or is it the thing the node refers to, and what is a SKU, and does a product have to have one, and should it be unique? All these sorts of questions that we hope to resolve in UberCart 3.
Wow.
And a lot of this discussion has gone on in this battle plans thread on ubercart.org. I guess we can throw a link up to it from this podcast page. It's just the UberCart 3.x battle plans that include a lot of these sort of low-level API things that we know we need to fix, but then also some other features like core VAT support or a unified sort of credit card system, so it's easier to write credit card plugins and things like that. Better internationalization support, multilingual support, figuring out what the attribute system should look like in the database instead of a serialized column like it does now. There's a lot to do.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, we solved some of these problems ourselves for the Lullabot store site. I'm actually in the process of writing up a case study, which I will probably put up on Drupal.org, hopefully, and probably mirror it over on lullabot.com. But to give like the real specifics, well, more specifics about what modules we use to do what and how we configured things and stuff like that. But the whole attribute system is sort of interesting. I'm really glad that you're aware of all of these things. But it's an interesting thing. So we have on our store, we have a what we call titles. So there's the learning CCK video, which is a title. And then we sell that as a DVD, something that you can hold in your hand, and we sell it as a download. And we sell it as a combination. So you can buy the DVD and also have the download for on your computer and stuff like that. And, but each of those is a different price and has a different SKU. And we kind of want to track them differently, but it's all one, you know, it's all on one node. And we spent some time thinking, like, should they each be individual nodes? And then there should be node references. And then when we create bundles, are those kits, what Drupal calls product kits? But that got really confusing because the kits then presented all of the attributes as available
as well.
For
each individual one, yeah.
And there wasn't a way to do a price for the kit that changed with the attribute stuff. So, I mean, you know, the interface just became crazy for the end user. And so we ended up just creating new products that were the bundles. But then those products need to refer to the other products for,
So. Well, a couple of interesting things coming down the pipe that aren't necessarily core UberCart, but are UberCart related. One is that I don't know if you've seen Acquia Prosper yet or not, but it is a free theme available on Drupal.org that is in the works, that will be specifically geared toward UberCart stores. And it's done by Top Notch Themes using their new sort of like flexible theme building system called Fusion that will basically give you a pretty store out of the box, which, you know, most Drupal themes aren't oriented toward stores, aren't oriented toward product catalogs, and they certainly aren't including lots of customizations for UberCart components. Top Notch Themes has always been good about building in custom add to cart forms and cart blocks and catalog displays and all these things in their premium themes that they do. So that's coming down the pipe, and that's really exciting because we'll finally have a pretty face for people to look at. And also there's an installation profile that I've been slowly working on called Uber Drupal, which will hopefully bundle Acquia Prosper, but it does your UberCart installation. If you have the modules available, whenever you install Uber Drupal, you just have a store whenever you're done. And you can even enable certain store components during the installation process. And I actually did listen to the Open Atrium and Features podcast and was affirmed there in my mind and in some comments, I think, from Boris Mann and others, that feature-based sort of installation is good for UberCart. And even more, my company Commerce Guys, which sort of exists to support UberCart, drive e-commerce on Drupal, we're going to be focusing our efforts on an actual sort of Drupal e-commerce distribution that can hopefully do for UberCart and the simplicity of getting a store site running on Drupal. Hopefully we can do... I'm totally mixing up my metaphor here. Sorry.
It's okay. It's not unprecedented on the podcast.
What Open Atrium has done for intranet sites built on Drupal, we can hopefully do with e-commerce sites built on Drupal using features and the same sort of ideas, concepts, and modules. So those things are coming down the pipe, and
very cool. Awesome. Fun. Yeah. So Acquia Prosper, is Acquia doing some UberCart work?
They're at least sponsoring the theme. I'm not sure. I know Acquia uses UberCart on their website whenever you sign up for services.
But.
I suppose you can get support from them since they support all of Drupal Contrib.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure of anything else. So.
Or you could go to Ryan's company, Commerce Guys.
Mm-hmm. Bing. That's at commerceguys.com.
There you go.
So, yeah. A funny anecdote is one of our goals for UberCart 3 and beyond is to improve the theme ability, because we were total theme newbies whenever we started doing this stuff. And we've learned a lot more about how the things that we've done with the theme layer in Drupal has made it difficult for people to theme their UberCart sites. And man, I looked at your Shopify store and I sweated your cart page, man. I just thought it was awesome. And I linked to it, and I was going to go back to it whenever UberCart 3 development started and model my new shopping cart form off of this awesome, easy to use cart form, and it's gone.
Well, other people have Shopify sites.
Here. Yes, I might. I'll have to research that.
You can set up your own Shopify site in 10 minutes. I know. But there definitely was some stuff theming wise, and I can't even really call it theming because I had to do some like form altering in order to get some of the stuff on our site to work, particularly the attributes. When you look at the
yours look good, by the way.
Thank you. I'm very proud of them.
They look good.
I'm not sure that all of the programming that I did is quite kosher. As I said, I mean, I did what needed to be done, but yes, when you go to look at one of our video listings and scroll way down to the bottom, there's the format form where you can choose, there's radio buttons to choose, and it has the price next to it, and if it's discounted, what the full price is and how much you're saving and stuff like that, which took a bit of it wasn't hacking, but it was a little tricky. It was a little tricky to do.
Hey, it might be worth mentioning too that I gave a session at DrupalCon DC called Advanced UberCart Usage, and the video there talks about how to set up attributes to have one product that does a physical product or a file download. So if anybody's wanting to do something similar here, this wouldn't cover the theming components, but certainly the setup, they could watch the video from DC and sort of get the scoop on that, and also on using UC Node Checkout for event registrations.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a quality video. I actually I referred a client who's doing a full UC Node Checkout sort of based system, and actually watched it myself before recommending it.
Don't tell the client.
Yeah, I heard of it. I threw it out on a limb. No, but it is a good. Yeah, we were sort of joking earlier about lack of documentation. It's actually very good documentation.
Cool.
On how the how the pieces fit together and how to get them set up, because all concepts, there's a lot of there's a lot of different terminology and stuff, like particularly when you need attributes and options and features and all different things you can tack on to products. So it's nice to sort of watch somebody walk through the pieces and how they fit together.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's. I guess we could start wrapping it up. We could do our pick of the week. So we'll call UC Node Checkout as the pick of the week this week. I guess it's woohoo. Maybe we could be more imaginative with that, but it's a really really cool module that, as we said earlier, way more flexible than you would think. I can't think of a name for it that would. It's like UC Flexi Checkout. I don't know, like how it could be given a better name. But has made a whole lot of things that we do easier.
Sweet.
And yeah. And anybody else have anything else to add to the podcast this week?
I'll give an honorable mention to UC Coupon as a runner-up.
To what?
To UC Coupon.
Coupon. Yeah, that one's been that's been good too. That Coupon module. We've been using that a lot. In fact, for people who are not on our mailing list, go get on our mailing list. We send out coupons all the time, and again, we have a coupon code of. For our Drupal Fundamentals online workshop, get $50 off with the coupon online 50, all one word, O-N-L-I-N-E 50. But yeah, the coupon module's been great. Still a few things that I'm not quite sure about. And I was saying as we were getting ready for the podcast, it's generally smarter than you would think. So for instance, we have this $50 off coupon, but it only applies to just that one workshop. And it knows whether that's in the cart and applies that based on whether it's in the cart. And if you have two workshop registrations, it'll apply $50 to each of them. It doesn't apply $50 to your entire cart and stuff like that. So that's,
they can expire.
And they can expire. That one does, August 20th.
And that's a good feature, that whole auto detection of the proper product. Because I was just trying to purchase a T-shirt, and having known that you created this coupon, I tried to use the coupon for the T-shirt, and I couldn't game your system, man.
Really? That's
good. Good to know.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Good thing. Also, I'll hook you up with a T-shirt.
I have one. Actually, I wear it all the time.
The coveted Lullabot T-shirt. Yes.
It's so soft.
It is. It's soft. And you look good in it. Whoever you are. Out there. People,
all of you.
All of you look great in the Lullabot T-shirt.
You're all sexy in your own way.
Okay, well, let's call that a podcast. Thanks, everybody, for coming on, and we'll see you next time.
Woo-hoo.
Bye.
Ciao.